from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, in for Michael Krasny. No holiday meal is as fixed in tradition as Thanksgiving, but that doesn't mean there aren't annual household battles over things like whether to brine or not, whether you should cater to your vegetarian cousin or just load him up with sides. And at least in my family, pumpkin versus mince. Whatever approach you take to Thanksgiving, questions abound, and Forum is here to help. In the hour ahead, we'll have three experts standing by to take your culinary queries. So whether you care about brine or wine, pie crusts or potatoes, stand by for the Thanksgiving Forum Food Fest, coming up after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, in today for Michael Krasny. Time to talk turkey. Well, not just turkey, also time to talk anything that has to do with your Thanksgiving menu. And we have three food experts standing by to take any and all of your culinary questions. Our phone lines are now officially open, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. So whether you're debating how to cook the bird or make the gravy or come up with the right vegetarian alternative or just want some advice on what you can get away with in terms of bringing cheap wine to your relative's house if you're going there, we're here to help. 866-733-6786. Joining us to field all of your Thanksgiving questions, Amanda Gold, food writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. Amanda, good morning.
Good morning.
Joining us, too, is Tanya Holland. She's the owner and executive chef of Brown Sugar Kitchen and B-Side Barbecue in Oakland. Tanya Holland, good morning as well.
Good morning.
And here, too, is Amy Wisniewski. She's the food editor for Chow.com, an online food magazine based in San Francisco, where she also manages the Test Kitchen. Amy, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start out with probably one of the questions. We've got a bunch of things emailed in that come in, that have already come in. And one of the more popular ones is to brine or not to brine. Is there a consensus on the great brining question? Anyone?
I say you got to brine. I've been saying once you go brine, you never go back.
What does it do?
Really, the salt content gets really infused in the meat of the turkey, and you get the flavor of whatever you're brining in. If it's just a sugar and salt solution, but you know, some people like myself add brown sugar or molasses. Really, you could add the herbs at that time, and it just makes the turkey so much more flavorful and so much more moist.
Now, for those who haven't done it before, you have a sort of easy ABC on how to brine. Does it matter what the salt solution is, size of the container, any of that sort of stuff?
I'm going to ask you if you probably have done it a lot more than I do. I'm often a guest at Thanksgiving. It's my day off, one day off, but I am brining this year.
Amy or Amanda, your favorite brining solution?
Well, I just did a brine turkey for Chow, and it is pretty specific. It depends on how big your turkey is exactly. I did a 12 to 14 pound turkey because that way I was able to fit it rather than have to use some sort of bucket or whatever. I could actually fit it in the refrigerator, and I used the crisper drawer and a really large Ziploc bag. But as far as the solution, you need to be careful with your salt because there's all different kinds of salt crystals out there. And if you use a tiny fine salt versus a larger flake, you know, Morton's kosher salt, they're not going to be equal in volume if you just measure them in a measuring cup. So, I mean, I personally recommend my recipe because it's by weight. And then that way you can just weigh it and then you can measure out the water, or I used a little apple juice in mine as well. But you have to kind of follow a very specific weight.
Any downsides to brining? One thing I've heard is that it can then – what you wind up then with too salty gravy, for example. Is there anything that you have to be wary of on the brining front?
When I did it, I was very specific about having to rinse off the bird after you've brined it. And, you know, people, you're not going to rinse away any of the flavor or anything like that. It's in there. It's done its job. But that's one way to help your gravy not be too salty because you want to make your own gravy, you know, for sure.
Yeah, and you really just have to taste as you go because those drippings will be a little bit saltier. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if you do have a brine bird, you can't stuff it. And people talk about that it's not necessarily safe to stuff the bird anyways. Right. But a lot of people start it in there and then finish the stuffing out to finish cooking. And I think that if you do have the brine turkey, those salty juices are infusing that. So that's one thing to think about. You know, I think another thing is that brining is a little bit of a pain, and it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. I think that the biggest thing is that it's insurance against a dry bird. So it allows you to cook it a little bit longer, I think, without it drying out. But it's cumbersome. It takes a big container. It takes, you know, bags that are food safe.
What about getting them pre-brined? Because that's an option, too.
Well, we actually just did a taste test this couple weeks ago, and we tasted pre-brined birds. So a lot of places are selling these now. We tasted four, and, you know, they weren't bad. They weren't bad. There was one from Costco that is a Framani brined bird, and that was really good. So it's worth checking out because I think it's worth doing, but it saves time to look into these other alternatives.
And we'll talk more about that over the course of the hour, about ways to save time and things that you can do so that you don't get sort of maxed out by all of the possibilities that come with perfecting your Thanksgiving menu. But let's get another brining question on the air. Abraham in San Francisco gets us started. Abraham, go ahead.
Hi, I got a pre-brined turkey. I'm happy to know that they don't taste horrible. Do you have any suggestions for actually making them taste tastier if they're already pre-brined?
Well, I think, you know, butter, salt, and pepper is really the way. And obviously, you don't really need to add salt to this. But pepper and butter and just roasting it, getting the skin crisp. We just like to do ours at 400 degrees. And depending on the size of the bird, if you have a bigger bird, that's kind of for a 12 to 16 pound bird. If you have something bigger, you want to turn the oven a little bit lower. But you don't need to do much. You don't need to put anything in the cavity. You just need to rub it with some butter and...
Do people overthink this? I mean, can you get too wired up about all of this? Thanksgiving can be a relatively simple meal, yeah?
I was just going to say, I think that the turkey part, because there's so many ways to cook a turkey, people get confused.
Yeah. No, I think people do get a little too stressed out because, you know, some of the dishes are very forgiving and you usually, you know, you can start in the morning and, you know, finish and eat an early dinner. So you have all the time. You know, you shouldn't be under the pressure. Depends how many you're cooking for, I suppose.
One more brining questions come in, which is, what about dry brining? Not even sure exactly what that means. Is that a sort of simpler, easier alternative, Amy?
That is definitely what I like to do because I'm super lazy. I'm just one of those horrible lazy cooks. You just rub it with salt. You can put the salt under the skin and then you just let it kind of dry brine in the refrigerator overnight that way rather than using a solution of salt, sugar, and water or whatever. And, you know, it is easier if you're kind of starting out. Maybe brining is a little, you know, seems a little too intense, but it's a good alternative to still get flavor and moisture into
sort of
the bird.
The bipartisan solution.
That's right down the middle.
Yeah. You know, and one other thing I wanted to mention, going back to the other question, is that we also air chill our turkeys after we get them. So if you buy a pre-brined turkey, if you put it in the fridge overnight, don't cover it at all and let that air in the fridge kind of dry out the skin and pull out some of the moisture, then rather than steam in the oven, that skin will crisp up, and that will help you get a tastier turkey.
To Alan next in San Francisco. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. A couple of things that I've done with a turkey that have always been successful is slicing the skin and putting pieces of butter under the skin along garlic cloves, and then I cook it in a convection roasted in a convection oven, so it roasts faster and better, and I have yet to have a failure. I cover them with cheesecloth, make sure that the cheesecloth always stays relatively moist, and my turkey come out really well.
Okay, Alan, thanks. Ideas? What do you think of those? Inserting butter and also the question of using a convection oven so you don't have to cook as long.
Yeah, I mean, I think both work. Again, I simple is good, but everybody has their preference and the flavors that they like, and putting some herbs or garlic under the skin certainly adds those flavors.
Yeah, and that's great. And if it's working for him and if it's not broke, don't try to fix it. You know, I also wanted to say that people, you know, if you can start with a high quality bird as well, that makes a big difference.
How do you judge that?
Well, I mean, go to a butcher you trust, and, you know, there's certain brand names that are known for, you know, free range birds, or you can also decide on organic if you want. But I think that makes a big difference in flavor, too.
At this point, given that we're 24 hours away from putting the bird in the oven, is it too late to go to think sort of high end like that at this point? If you haven't gotten it, where do you go? What do you do?
No, I think, you know, a lot of the shops will even, you know, local grocery stores will probably still have plenty of birds because you actually see them in the market through the Christmas holidays. So they're going to be around.
And they plan for those last minute people.
866-733-6786. If you have a question for Amy, Amanda, or Tanya about how to plan your Thanksgiving menu, now just 24 hours away, 866-733-6786. You can email us your questions as well or post them on our Facebook page. Dan in Alameda wants to move to the dessert side. Dan, go ahead.
Hi. I like to make pecan pie for Thanksgiving, and what I find is that my pies come out a little bit runny. When I have pecan pie at a restaurant, it has a little bit of a thicker, richer texture to it, and I was wondering how I could achieve that.
Dan, thanks. Tanya, you want to take that?
Well, I guess I'd have to see your recipe and know what ingredients you're working with, and hopefully it has eggs in it, which would help thicken it. And
usually I use the Karo syrup recipe, which is about a cup of Karo syrup, a cup of sugar, 3 eggs, some butter.
That sounds right. I'm wondering about the temperature. If your oven's been calibrated and you have the right temperature, you might want to get an oven thermometer if you're cooking it long enough.
Dan, thanks. Hope that helps. We'll come back and do more on desserts in a moment, but let's bring in the sides question. What sort of interesting sides that won't sort of be overly complicated at this sort of late date in the Thanksgiving planning process? What sort of things should people consider, Tanya?
Well, I don't like to have a Thanksgiving without sweet potatoes or yams, and they're pretty simple. You can roast them. I like to peel and roast mine and then mash them in a food processor or a stand mixer and with butter, just like you would do mashed potatoes. To me, that's the simplest way. They have a lot of natural sugar. You don't have to add a lot. You can add a little butter and cream. A lot of people like to make a casserole with marshmallows. I kind of forego the marshmallows. Also, Brussels sprouts are out, and I just love to kind of peel back the leaves and do a simple saute with them with some onions or shallots and garlic and just really kind of keep it, easy. And, of course, the stuffing. That's kind of the pièce de résistance, so you have to spend a little bit of time on the stuffing.
What about the combination? I think of Brussels sprouts, which I know lots of people have for Thanksgiving, as being a little on the bitter side. But is that a good idea to have that sort of pro and con within your Thanksgiving meal, Amy?
Yeah, I think Brussels sprouts are kind of a underrated vegetable. I think people either overcook them and they smell terrible, or, people always turn to maybe some bacon or something, which isn't a bad idea. I mean, because I love that too. But, a really cool thing that you can do with Brussels sprouts is just make them into a salad rather than having to cook them, because you can shred them real thinly and then toss them with a little vinaigrette, and you still get like a nice flavor, and they are a tiny bit bitter, and it's a nice complement. Plus, you get a little more texture in your meal rather than like a, kind of the soft consistency of everything else.
But do greens get forgotten in is it important not to?
I think it's definitely important not to. I do think that texture is huge. You have so many carbs and so many mushy, soft things that having some crunch in the meal is huge. So, I think people usually have one green dish on the table. And
if you're opposed to Brussels sprouts, what's the alternative?
Green beans?
Mm-hmm.
Fresh green beans.
Yeah.
Collard greens, kale.
Yeah.
Sure.
Celeste in San Francisco has our next question. Celeste, go ahead.
Hi. I am bringing the roasted turkey over to the hostess's home, and it's going to take 1 hour to drive there. Do you have suggestions on how to keep the turkey warm and moist?
Great question. So driving 1 hour, keeping your turkey moist. You're drawing a blank here, Celeste. I'm sorry to say.
Well, I don't think an hour is the end of the world. These are big turkeys. They take a while to cool down. So I think that if you cover it really well with aluminum foil and
so do you just would you usually you want it to sit out for a while?
Yeah.
So in this case,
I want mine to sit out for at least half an hour.
So you wouldn't want to. So in this case, for Celeste, you'd pull it out and hop in the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you can.
All right.
Just be careful.
Celeste, thanks for the call. Richard is up next in San Francisco. Richard, join us, please.
Hi, I'm making creme fraiche for desserts, and I was wondering, and I can't find the answer really online, what's the best temperature to make it at? I've seen anywhere from 75 to 105 degrees. And does the temperature affect the acidity or the thinness of it?
Creme fraiche. Anyone want to venture into Richard's questions here? These are tough questions.
You're making creme fraiche. That is really ambitious. I've always seen it made at room temperature, like holding at room temperature for overnight even. So I would say, what's the average room temperature? In the 70s, right? So that makes sense.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say the lower end of your temperature range is better.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Emails coming in. If anyone heard NPR's Morning Edition today, one of the tips advocated by Julia Child, I guess we brought her back for Morning Edition, was to roast the turkey's dark meat longer than the white meat so as to not overcook it. Well, this is a question that comes up a lot. How do you get the dark meat cooked well enough and yet not dry out the white meat? Suggestions?
Well, you know, you can start out cooking the turkey, which what I do is I cook the turkey upside down for a while just to get all the juices kind of collected in the breast. And then you can flip it over at the end. And then you can cook it a little bit longer. And like Tanya said, you can do some brining, and that's going to really help give you a little insurance there. But also, I really don't care about presenting a whole bird to a table of people. So I'll just go ahead, take out the breast when it's done, cut off the legs and stick them back in the oven for a minute. And then you don't really have to worry about it.
Some people have also talked about like icing part of the bird. Is that a route you could follow? Or is it just is Amy's suggestion really the one that's the most logical? Don't worry about the whole bird presentation and just take them out at different times.
Well, and I think if you are worried about the whole bird presentation, you can always cover the breast with aluminum foil and, you know, or start it out that way. And so that kind of gets the heat hitting the legs quicker. And then if you take it off at the end, then those will brown.
Rick in Santa Rosa has our next question. Gravy question. Great. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, actually comment, which is that I've found that if you've got a too salty gravy, adding white wine to the gravy seems to back off the apparent salt.
Okay, Rick, thanks for that. How else do you deal with, you know, sort of Thanksgiving disasters if things aren't working out right? Do you have any tips on how to deal with something that's gone fundamentally wrong? Your gravy's way too salty, or your mashed potatoes have turned into soup, or how do you deal with this so that not everyone freaks out?
We did a little tip last year about if your turkey is overcooked. If you have a little extra broth, you know, for making gravy or whatever you have, you can heat that up and like cut the turkey and do a quick little dip before you present it. So it's got a little moisture on it and things like that. And I also did a tip. Like I said, I'm really impatient when I cook, so I tend to shove things under a broiler. So if you put that sweet potato casserole under the broiler and you end up, you know, catching your marshmallows on fire, you don't have to worry about it. They actually just will peel off in one piece, and then you could just start over, and nobody will know the difference.
A couple of people want to know already about leftovers. One person wants to know about soup and advice on turning turkey into soup. Other suggestions on getting ready to deal with leftovers, Amanda?
I do a lot with quick weeknight recipes. So leftovers or being able to use leftovers is helpful for me. And I just did something last week that was great, was kind of a turkey pot pie, a really quick turkey pot pie. And so what I did was I took some leftover turkey and I saved some of the roux from the gravy. With the gravy we make a roux, which is a flour and butter mixture, which helps thicken the gravy. So I reserved a little bit of that before I put it in the gravy. And then I just did a saute of some onions and some frozen vegetables that I always have in the freezer for my 2-year-old, and threw those in a pan with some chicken broth and the roux and the turkey, and it was kind of a pot pie filling. And rather than bake it with a crust on top, which is kind of complicated, I just baked off some extra pie crust that I had and then just broke it into pieces and put it over the top. So it was kind of an impromptu pot pie, and it took not much time at all.
Any other leftover suggestions that you can sort of pre-plan ahead so that that all of your effort tomorrow extends into your meals for the remainder of the week?
Well, yeah, if you're buying, you know, your onions and your carrots and your herbs for your stuffing, get some extra, and you'll have your, mirepoix, which could be the carrots, onions, celery, for a soup or a chowder for the turkey. And then you could just throw the bones in there and let the meat fall off the bones while it's cooking, and then pull them out before serving.
Stuffing. Go there.
I was having this discussion yesterday. There's so many different types. I mean, I talked to, you know, a very sophisticated person who, is in the food business and says her mom still makes this white bread stuffing, you know, and it's like the only time of year she eats white bread. But some people just, they get in their ruts and they stay with it. But, you know, I cooked a cornbread stuffing on the Today Show yesterday, and that's my favorite. And now everybody wants to go try it. It's an interesting texture, and I really like it. But then, you know, some people use sourdough, especially in the Bay Area. There's so many ways, and there's so many things you can put in it.
Is that the key? I mean, is that sort of the key first decision about stuffing is where you
what
go
bread
with bread?
What bread you're going to use. Yeah, needs. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think stuffing is one of those things, too, almost like Brussels sprouts that a lot of people grow up thinking they don't like because they grew up on boxed stuffing. And you can make such good stuffing with fresh artisan bread that you can get here. And, you know, walnut bread, stuff with texture.
Better to bake it than put it in the bird or both?
I think better to bake it, get the top all nice and crispy.
Yeah.
Back to our calls. 866-733-6786 is our number. We have three great people standing by to answer any and all of your Thanksgiving questions. 866-733-6786. Gary in San Jose is next. Gary, go ahead.
Hey, I'm driving up to Tahoe right now with a brine turkey that I did over the course of 2 days, and I definitely know how to cook a turkey. So my real question is, I'm going to be at Tahoe at altitude. What do I have to do to make sure it comes out as good as it does when I cook it in my own oven at home?
Great question, Gary. Altitude, and does the brining factor, I guess, play out any differently?
One other thing. For the gentleman with his creme fraiche, room temperature, I make it all the time. Room temperature, covered in the corner, and make sure you give it enough time, though, because if it's cool, it'll take longer to solidify.
All right, we now have four experts standing by to take your questions. Gary, you can just stay with us for the rest of the hour. So, Richard, if you're still listening, room temperature is the creme fraiche answer. But back to altitude.
The only experience I had cooking anything with altitude was in Breckenridge, Colorado. We were at like 10,000 feet. I was trying to boil water. Of course, that was a disaster. We were trying to make pizza. I mean, basically, it took longer. Everything took longer. So my only suggestion would to be make sure that you have a meat thermometer so you can just check it, monitor it, and kind of plan your meal around when that turkey is going to be done, because I wouldn't be able to tell exactly.
If it takes longer, do you need to actually cook, sort of counterintuitive, at a lower temperature so things don't dry out as opposed to bumping up the temperature?
I don't think it would hurt. You know, I mean, you don't want to go too low, but you don't want to be jacking it up to, you know, 475 or anything.
Gary, thanks. Sorry, we can't be more specific, but I think that's good input, though. Yeah, the thermometer's a good idea. Yeah. You want to solve any other problems while we've got you, Gary?
No, I'm okay. Thank you. All right.
Drive safely. Here's another question from Robin. Did you mention a link where we can find the recipe for brining ratio? We'll post some things on our website. You also have your brining recipe on the Chow website.
Chow.com.
And we have ours on sfgate.com, too.
All right. So sfgate.com, Chow.com, or the KQED Forum website as well. Vegetarian alternatives. I love sides, but tofu turkey is just not sounding right. So Priya wants to know vegetarian suggestions.
It gets really difficult for vegetarians. I feel bad for them because it is all like a meal of sides. So one thing that I really like to do for vegetarian friends is take, you know, something that's more like it is more of a centerpiece, and it's an individual centerpiece of an acorn squash that you can cut in half and stuff it. And we have, of course, a recipe on Chow for a stuffing, but you can put anything in the stuffing that you want.
And I'll just hold you there because we have to break away for just a second. We'll continue to take your calls, though, at 866-733-6786. This is Forum on KQED. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson in for Michael Krasny. Today, we're taking all of your Thanksgiving questions at 866-733-6786. Amanda Gold, food writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, joins us, along with Tanya Holland, owner and executive chef of Brown Sugar Kitchen and the B-Side Barbecue, both restaurants in Oakland, and Amy Wisniewski, food editor for Chow.com. 866-733-6786. Our phone lines are full, but keep trying. We'll get to as many questions as we can. Dick in Belmont, go ahead.
Hi. Not to be a party pooper, but with respect to brine turkeys, some of us older people have heart disease and simply cannot eat heavily salted food.
Ah. So good point, Dick. Thanks for that. So
yeah.
It's something that people ought to think about, Amanda, if you're hosting especially an older group, that brined may not be the way to go.
Absolutely. And listen, I think that brining is great. I do it myself, but it's not the end all be all. And if you turkey is turkey, and you the reason we have Thanksgiving is to have all these sides and gravy and all these wonderful things together on the plate. And so it's you do what you can.
Dick, thanks for the reminder. Good point. Steve in Walnut Creek is up next. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, I've got the cooking the turkey down, but for the next day, I always have a ton of leftovers, and I'm wondering about what's the best way to try to keep the turkey moist when you're dealing with leftovers. Like, one question I always have is it better to slice it on Thanksgiving if you know you're going to have, you know, maybe a whole turkey breast left over? Would it be better to leave it unsliced or sliced? And then what's the best way to reheat it without drying it out a day or two later?
Steve, thanks.
Oh, I was going to say definitely leave it whole. I mean, the more you slice it, the more you expose it to air. It's going to get drier. And you can heat it up with a little bit of chicken broth to keep it moist. And even if you're going to serve for sandwiches, you can heat it up and then, you know, cool it down a little bit. But that'll definitely help with the moisture.
Do you need to – is it best to heat up on the stovetop so that you can use like a little chicken broth and not put it back in the oven?
Yes, I would definitely use a stovetop as opposed to the oven or a microwave or anything like that.
Steve, thanks for the call. My solution is just have turkey sandwiches.
That's
my solution.
Put a lot of other stuff on it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Anthony next. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Hey, I've just got a quick bit of advice from my own experience. I tried to cook the Thanksgiving turkey last year after we moved into a new apartment, and it took 6 hours cook. I got an oven thermometer afterwards and found that the oven was actually off by 150 Fahrenheit.
Whoa.
Wow. So I can't stress the importance of just getting an oven far enough.
Anthony, thanks. Yeah. It's a great reminder, sort of a general all-purpose reminder that probably not enough of us use on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. Anthony, thank you. A couple of other questions here. If you have to defrost the turkey in a hurry, if you if your turkey is still frozen, is that not a good plan at this point? And what's the best thing to do if it is?
It's difficult. I mean, especially the bigger your turkey, the longer it's going to take to defrost. But, you know, a quicker way to do it is take it out. I mean, it should be in the refrigerator by now. And just put it in some cold running water in your sink. Do not be tempted to put it under hot water because that can partially cook the turkey. And that's really unsafe for you to eat that later. But you're just going to have to be patient and get it under some cold running water and just keep turning it around. And if you can, at some point, you know, get the giblets out of the inside so it's the center is not completely frozen. Do that, but then just make sure that if you do that, to wash your sink thoroughly so you don't have any of that turkey junk in there.
Here's a question about barbecuing on a gas barbecue. Any of you work with doing that on the grill? Suggestions for how to do that? This person says, I've read that indirect heat is important, so I have an extra propane tank. Should I lower the temperature down? How do you go? What's the best way to deal with if you want to do it on the grill?
Sure. Well, definitely, I think that would be a great alternative. Very interesting, especially if you get some chips on there and give it a little smoky flavor. I would use the same, you know, parameters for temperature as you would use with cooking in the oven. You should have a thermometer if it's a gas grill and get your temperature up to around 400. And again, using a meat thermometer and watching the birds. So if there's areas that look like they're getting too dark, you can put foil over. Probably will require a little bit more attention than just putting it in the oven, but I would say that would work.
Here's another stuffing question. I just heard you say that you should not stuff your brine bird because it makes it too salty, but I like the stuffing moist and soaked with a turkey flavor, so if I washed and dried the brine bird, would it still be okay to stuff it?
I don't know about that one. I think it depends on how salty your brine is and how well you rinse it. I think it's worth a shot if you want to try it that way, but I'm not guaranteeing anything.
I think you can still get moist stuffing even if you don't put in the bird. You can take the drippings and almost baste your stuffing or, you know, and you can get that turkey flavor.
So get a little bit of those drippings and then
take a syringe, you know, a turkey syringe, a gravy syringe, and and do that, and you can still have the same effect.
Yeah.
Before you actually bake it or during the baking? Or?
Yeah, while you're cooking it, just like you would kind of baste the turkey. And you're cooking the stuffing, too, so everything's going to be...
Basting stuffing, yeah. All right, great idea. Ellen in Moraga is next with a gravy question, I guess. Ellen, go ahead.
Hi. I grew up, I think, having milk gravy for turkey, and I have never known how to make it. Do you have any suggestions, or do you, regular turkey gravy versus milk gravy? Do you have a comment on that?
Gravy, how best to do it, how to avoid lumps while we're at it. We might as well get into that as well.
I have not had milk gravy.
Me neither.
I don't know if, I mean, I'm guessing maybe... well, if milk was added to the turkey juices and then there was a roux or a thickener, it would just thicken.
Dad always had the butter and the flour roux. I mean, that was our thickener.
So it was just
I mean, I've made cream gravy, but never with milk.
Okay,
yeah.
Well.
But I think, the roux is huge. The roux is key for the gravy so that you don't get lumps.
I actually use a beurre manier, which is,
what's that?
It's the flour and butter mixed, but not cooked, equal amounts. And so it's like a paste, and you can whisk it in. It also will keep it from being lumpy. But you have to have a little bit more finesse with cooking, I think, because you really have to whisk it in carefully and, at the right temperature.
But. Good for you, not for me, in other words. Okay, Ellen, thank you.
Well, I think I will stick to my regular gravy.
Okay, all right, Ellen, thanks.
Sorry about that.
Thanks for the call. We have links, by the way, to all of these Thanksgiving resources mentioned on our show and elsewhere. We've also got a link to KQED's Bay Area Bites food blog. You can find all those on our website, which is kqed.org. Here's another gravy comment. We always smoke a turkey breast for Thanksgiving, and we've had no success at making good gravy from the drippings because it turns out too smoky. Any suggestions for making a gravy that goes well with a smoked turkey?
I think adding something sweet would be really nice with that. Maybe some cider vinegar to help flavor that a little bit. Adding a little bit of bacon to your gravy maybe would give you that natural smokiness without having it too smoky. That might complement that nicely, just a thought.
People want to move on to dessert. This may be un-American, Christina writes, but I don't like pie. What are some other Thanksgiving desserts I could make that capture flavors like pecan and pumpkin, but not in the pie format?
Must be un-American because I'm not a huge pie fan. So this year I'm opting to make a pumpkin cheesecake, which is delicious and still pumpkin-y, and people won't be disappointed because they still get that pumpkin hit and they're all satisfied and happy.
Any other, while we're out on the subject, pie crust suggestions, which is always something that defeats a lot of people on how to deal with crust. You're better off not worrying about it if you're not an expert baker, just getting a pre-made crust. What's the best way to proceed on that score?
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I would say if you're not a seasoned baker and, you're already stressed about the meal.
Tomorrow's not the day to begin.
Yeah, yeah. Buy something pre-made for sure.
And I think also just maybe a suggestion for next year, but if you are nervous about it, the pie crust is definitely something that can be done a little bit in advance so that you're not waiting till the last minute.
That's
and
true.
You can freeze the crust in the pie pan in the freezer. So
let's spend a beat on that. Other advanced tips, things that people could do today to make tomorrow less stressful. Let's go around on that one, Samantha.
One of the things that I always do is I will, depending on what I'm doing with my vegetables, I will par cook them today.
So, meaning, for those, again, who aren't familiar?
If I'm doing Brussels sprouts, for example, sometimes, and if you're just going to saute them, sometimes you need to cook them a little bit first. You need to boil them, parboil them in water to get them a little bit softer. And so those are the kinds of things, or green beans, if you just cook it for 1 to 5 minutes, depending on the vegetable, in boiling water.
And then just put them back in the fridge.
And then you can dry it and put it back in the fridge, and then they're just ready to finish tomorrow so that you're not dealing with another pot of boiling water. And that's one of the things that I really like to do ahead.
Great suggestion. Amy?
I always make my cranberry sauce way ahead of time just because it's such a simple thing. You can stick it in the fridge. It's fine for a couple days. I do anything else that's like a kind of a casserole like that. Definitely stuffing, sweet potatoes. You can definitely make ahead because those things, they just rewarm while your turkey's resting after it's been cooked, and you don't have to worry about your oven space, and it's just less of a headache.
Yeah. Tanya, any pre-made things you can do?
Yeah, I agree with the cranberry sauce. Mine is already made, which I'm happy about. but also for your stuffing, you know, you can get your bread a few days ahead of time and let it dry out. It's actually better if it's a little dry, you know, whether it's you're cubing the breads or crumbling cornbread. And then, you know, when you mix it in, it'll actually absorb some of the moisture and flavors a little bit better.
On your website, Amy, there was a question which said, do you dread Thanksgiving? And it had like, you know, I don't know, 400 responses to it. I mean, any other thoughts on just how to make the day not be something that you're overly sort of dreading or stressed out about?
Well, for me, it's all about preparation and being organized and just thinking a little bit ahead. I mean, it is all about the food, but next to that, it's you're having family over, you're basically having a party at your house. So you have to think beyond just the food part. Think about the dishes, setting the table, even cleaning the house. I mean, those sorts of things can be done days in advance. You don't have to do them, you know, Thursday morning or Wednesday night at the 11th hour. So just be a little more prepared with everything else. And then the food will not be as stressed.
John in Rio Nido has our next question. John, go ahead.
Hi, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as
well. Thanks. I was wondering, is Butterball simply a brand name, or is there some difference in the way the bird is prepared for market, or any other difference between that brand and, say, all the others?
It is a brand.
It is a brand.
I don't know whether it has something special in it. Yeah. Let's just spend a...
It has this aura of specialness about it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure why.
Any other... We touched on this briefly before, but let's repeat for John's benefit. If you haven't got your turkey yet, what do you recommend someone look for as far as making sure that you're getting the best kind of bird you can?
Yeah, I think free-range, organic. You want to make sure that the turkey's had some space to run around.
Mm-hmm. It's just going to add a little bit more flavor to the meat rather than... You know, it's just like with everything else, all other kinds of animals, if they eat something that's delicious, they're likely to taste more delicious.
Let's go next to Dana in Palo Alto. Dana, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I grew up in a generation before brine turkey, so my mom used bacon and unsalted butter for moisture. But I am really interested in kind of trying to eat healthy. And so I've been using a mixture of honey and olive oil. And I put the bird on a bed of fresh rosemary and thyme branches in the roaster, and that flavors the drippings. And you have to put the honey on before the olive oil, because it just makes a really low salt but very flavorful and nicely browned bird with sort of a Mediterranean flair.
Great. All right, Dana. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for the suggestion. Here's a question from Wanda next about how to speed the thawing process. Wanda, yes. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I wasn't sure if you were answering a question about thawing a brine bird or getting a brine bird less salty, but I thought you were talking about thawing a frozen bird.
Right.
And I've always heard that run it under cold, running water. But how long does one do that? I mean, is it based on the size and the weight of the bird, or are you... And can you, the second part of the question is, could you, if the bird is sealed, could you put it in cold water and help the thawing process that way? It seems like running cold water is really wasteful of water. And if not, then how long?
Yeah, Wanda, thanks. Amanda?
I think one way to do that is to, yes, submerge it in cold water, but just change the water out often, because as it sits there, the water will come down to, you know, the water will actually get colder, and so you kind of want room temperature water and just keep changing it out so that you don't have to have it running the whole time.
But out of the package,
yes.
Yeah, definitely. You want to try to get water into that cavity.
Yes, for sure.
To really thaw it out.
Wanda, thanks. Thanks for the call. A couple of people still wanting to know about how to avoid the dreaded dry turkey syndrome. We talked about taking the breast out before the dark meat. Anything else? Secrets to, does basting really matter? What kinds of things can you do to keep the breast meat in particular from getting too dry?
Just don't overcook the turkey, first of all.
Basting, and I think also letting the turkey rest when it comes out of the oven. Mm. You don't want to cut into it right away because that will – you'll lose some of the juices that way.
In terms of too long, I mean, I know that part of the answer here is to rely on your meat thermometer. But, you know, in the olden days, it used to be 20 minutes to a pound. Is all that no more? And how do you – sort of what's your rough calculation to start with?
No, I think that's about right.
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to, you know, stick a knife in and look at the flesh and see that it's cooked through. And
that won't dry it out?
No. If it's starting, if you do just a little area and you start to see some clear liquid dripping out, then you know you can pull it out and there will be a little bit of carryover cooking.
And is that, Eric asked the upside down question again. You mentioned that earlier, Amy, but is that the point that if you do things upside down, that that'll keep the breast from getting too dry?
It does help. I start out that way. I do it sometimes with chickens too, but you're going to have to turn it over at some point because you want to get the breast nice and brown and crispy skin and all that stuff. So, you know, I would do it. I do it for about an hour, the first hour of cooking time, and then I'll just take it out, use a couple of pieces of wadded up paper towel, flip the bird over, and put it back in until it's done.
Here's Maureen writes on the question of transporting the turkey for an hour. Here's her suggestion. We've transported a cooked turkey more than once. It's not been for the distance mentioned today, but my intrepid husband just wraps up the turkey in the roasting pan in a beach towel and puts foil over the top. It then cools beautifully, and the results are amazing. So for our caller who had the hour-long transport, a beach towel is the recommended solution. Lane writes in, I deep fry my turkey every year, typically use peanut oil. Everyone is sold out of peanut oil, though, so I bought soybean oil after checking various online postings. Is that going to work? Will soybean oil work as well as peanut oil? And what about deep frying? Any thoughts on that process?
I don't really have any comments about the oil per se because I haven't actually deep fried my own turkey. But I know that there are some things on the market now that are less scary to use for deep frying. It used to be you would have to have that big flame and then the huge bucket and you'd put it outside and it could catch on fire and all that stuff. I've seen tabletop versions now that you can use for a turkey and they just seem so much safer and easier for anybody to use.
Yeah. Tanya, you have any thoughts on the deep frying question?
No, I've only witnessed it once as well. I prefer roasting. But I would say, you know, any kind of neutral flavored oil would be ideal for doing that.
With a high smoke point.
Right.
Armando writes in, to your comment about overcooked Brussels sprouts, I have the following question. I'm roasting vegetables, yams, red potato, parsnip, red beets. Will it work if I place them in the oven at the same time, or do I have to stagger them?
I would definitely stagger them. I mean, the root vegetables will cook more at the same rate, and the Brussels sprouts, they may be a little quicker to cook. So if you can, if you have a smaller little roasting, you know, pan or little baking sheet or something like that that you can stick in the oven, you can take them out sooner. But I would be very wary of having them all cook at the same time because they might get overcooked. Mm.
Okay, Bonnie, you're up next in Palo Alto. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Bonnie. Go ahead.
Hi, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
My question is, my turkey is never frozen. It's been refrigerated for a day and a half. And I want to know how long I need to keep it out of the refrigerator to bring it to room temperature before I roast it.
Okay, Bonnie, thank you.
Thanks.
I would say at least half an hour, up to an hour is totally fine. You just want to bring it down to room temperature a little bit.
Take the chill off.
Yeah.
Bonnie, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, yep. Thank you. Here's a great question. Difference between sweet potatoes and yams. Tanya.
Yes. Well, two different vegetables. Sweet potato is the tuber, I think, and yam, the rhizome. I don't know. I mean, in our, I've probably looked into it like 1,000 times because I always get asked this question. But, you know, living in California and going to the markets, there's so many varietals and they're so different. You know, I'm like, oh, wow, this particular yam has white flesh, especially, you know, being near Davis and all the hybrids. I think like there's different levels of sweetness, different levels of dryness and moisture.
One and, preferred for
and some taste a little bit different. I mean, Garnet, Beauregard, you really have to kind of pick a personal preference or just go with, you know.
What's yours?
Yeah. I love Beauregard yams. They're really good and flavorful and, you know, they're a nice size. So.
And yams more than sweet potatoes for Thanksgiving?
Either one. To be honest with you, I think people like get caught up on it more than it's in.
And I think most people think of sweet potatoes as yams
exactly.
at Thanksgiving.
I
thinking
totally
of
do.
The orange flesh yams. Yeah.
It's kind of more of a vocabulary thing.
Yeah.
Here's someone who says that they're going to pre-order a ready-made holiday meal, but they want to add a bit of a personal touch. I think that's a great question, especially if you're living alone, as many people do in San Francisco in particular, high percentage of people who live solo. How can you sort of dress that up a little bit and add to doing something and getting something that's pre-ordered and pre-made?
You know, it's funny. My mother-in-law called me the other day. He was asking me about pre-made food. And, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is a lot of the stuff. Either there's some seasoning. It's questionable about the seasoning. Either it's undersalted, oversalted, or, you know, whatever. There's just no flavor. But if you get, like, mashed potatoes, you can always stir in a little cream or a little butter or even some herbs or something if you want to at the end. If you just get some, you know, plain green beans or whatever, you can add like little toasted almonds or toss it with some, you know, warm vinaigrette or something like that to add a little bit more flavor.
Let's spend a moment on mashed potatoes, which are kind of a basic. But what are some fun ways to kind of, I don't know, add just a little bit something different? Or should you just stay with the plain old basic and go with that?
Well, we have at the Chronicle, we have our best way mashed potatoes, which is basically butter and cream. And I think that I always like simple, but one thing that to keep in mind is that we heat the butter and the cream before we put it in, which helps smooth it out and avoid lumps.
And cream as opposed to 2%. I mean, it makes
Yeah.
And how much?
I think we do. Well, we do quite a bit. Let's just leave it at that. But I think maybe we do.
All right, we're looking that up. Meanwhile, yeah. Tanya, any mashed potato tips?
Oh yeah, I mean chives, fresh chives, cheddar if you want. I actually put a little Tabasco in mine, and it gives it this nice little like different tang to it. But definitely season it well with salt and pepper.
And
butter
to
and
Patricia
cream.
In Walnut Creek, Patricia, go ahead. Hi, Patricia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, please.
I have a question about. What should I do, because this is the first time I have cooked a turkey in a convection oven versus a standard oven.
Okay. Tips, suggestions. Amy, test kitchen, expertise
well,
needed.
That's actually a terrible question for me, because in the test kitchen, we tend to just stick to the regular oven because not everyone has a convection oven. So I don't actually use the convection oven that much. I have great success with just regular roasting, so maybe one of the other ladies has a better answer.
Is this where you go back to your meat thermometer rule and just sort of make sure that you keep checking, Amanda?
Yeah, and convection ovens, you're going to cook at a lower temperature. It's about 25 degrees lower.
Okay. All right.
But yes, definitely.
Patricia,
always
good
be
luck.
Checking.
Yeah, buy a meat thermometer, I think, is our best advice. Joe in Winters has a question. Joe, go ahead.
Hello. My question is when I cooked like an over-the-counter turkey, you know, not an organic free-range. Then when it's done, you know, you follow the directions on the package, you know, amount of time per pound. The meat's nice and tender on the thigh. When I've cooked the organic ones in like a free-range, it seemed like they're a lot more firm. Like, is that because they got more muscles, or do I got to cook it longer? I'm afraid to have it less cooked, you know.
Yeah. Okay, Joe, thank you.
I think it's going to have a little more texture because it's running around a little bit more. But it's also going to have a little bit more flavor. And
Longer? Do you have to cook longer or at a different temperature when it's free range?
I don't really know the answer to that. I think, again, it's by a thermometer and check as you go.
let's see, we just have a few moments left, so let's try to get through a couple of others. This is a dangerous one, but pie crust 101. Tanya?
Well, there's so many different pie crust recipes. I mean, you can use as your fat lard, butter, you can add some sour cream. I think the key is giving yourself enough space on the counter to, you know, kind of mix it by hand and to not overwork the dough and let it rest before you roll it out. So you make the dough, put it in a ball and some plastic wrap. And then put in your refrigerator, let it rest, roll it out, line the pan, back in the refrigerator. And then, you know, whether or not you need to pre-bake it, if you have to do that with some pie weights, you know, do that.
And you can – rolling it out is tricky, but you can put wax paper, like, over it, right, and roll
sure.
it out over that so you're not sticking to the roller.
Absolutely.
Right?
And
yeah.
I think also to start with really cold ingredients, really cold butter, freezing cold water.
Yeah.
I'm saving one of my favorite questions here for last. Good main dishes for lawyers. any suggestions?
Do you like the lawyer or not like the lawyer?
Well, I was going to say the lawyers probably aren't going to like what they're eating anyways, right? They're going to argue about whatever they're getting. So,
all right. We just have a moment left. Quick last thoughts, suggestions, things to keep in mind so that the day can be what it's supposed to be about and not something that makes you overly stressed. Tanya?
Well, I encourage people, if they do have guests, don't be afraid to ask your guests to bring something. You know, potlucks are great. I think that's a little bit of what Thanksgiving is about. And, you know, buy your dry goods as early as possible, things that aren't going to perish. Get your beverages out of the way, you know. Of course, now it's the day before, so this might not
help. We
haven't
talked about wine. Any quick thoughts on wine, white, red, rosé?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah. Just have a
sparkling.
Lot of everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Last quick tips, Amy.
Quick tips. Just prepare. I mean, just kind of relax and remember that you're trying to spend time with people. So don't sit in the kitchen and cry the whole time. You know, just get out there, socialize, put people to work. And if you don't know something, get out your phone or your computer and just look it up. You know, there's lots of help out there, lots of recipes. So just try it. Just do it.
And Amanda Gold.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Don't be afraid to put people to work in the kitchen, not just asking them to bring things. But one of the things I love about Thanksgiving is being in the kitchen with family and everybody working together. So that's one of the things that makes the meal fun.
And what's around on your very favorite thing to prepare for Thanksgiving, Amanda?
Well, I'm a dessert person, and I do an upside-down pear cake that is kind of an alternative to pie that I love. And you can find that on our website as well, too, sfgate.com/Thanksgiving.
All right. Mm-hmm. Upside-down pear. Amy?
Stuffing. Yeah. Use good fresh bread and put delicious things inside of it, and don't use mushy box versions.
And Tanya Holland.
She took mine. I was going to say stuffing, too. It's really the only time of year that we eat stuffing. You know, we might eat some of the other dishes throughout the year, but so I say, you know, let that be kind of a focal point, and, you know, it'll be delicious.
Tanya Holland, Amanda Gold, Amy Wisniewski, thanks all very much. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Buy me a thermometer. Enjoy the day. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.